So you may know, I mean, I've mentioned this before, that I'm really fond of my backyard, really love it. I don't have a whole lot of jurisdiction over the inside of the house, so I put a lot of focus on the outside. And what I've done over the years, I guess consciously and unconsciously, is kind of create a semi-natural habitat for all the animals that are out there. For instance, I've got my chickens, you know, they're always clucking and scratching around out there and making noise. But also I've got a peanut cage. It's those little square wire cages with peanuts in it for the squirrels and for the blue jays who come all day long. It's fantastic. I have two bird feeders for all of the variety of winged creatures who come, from goldfinches to nuthatches to the occasional grosbeak and blackbird. Of course, I have hummingbird feeders. And then I've got a little koi pond right there also. So the fish are always splashing around in there, and the birds are moving around in the grass trying to get the seed that's fallen. It's a whole scene out there. But the best thing about it, I think, for me, is it means that every morning I come out, and everybody's waiting for me. I come out and, you know, the chickens are complaining that they want to get out and eat. The squirrels are standing on the chicken coop looking at me, waiting for the peanuts. There are birds lined up on the power lines, and even the fish are like kissing the surface of the water, waiting for me to toss them food. It's like walking into a Disney movie, and I just really love that. But the thing about it is, I've created this little ecosystem, right? And I'm responsible for it. I'm responsible for giving it care and giving these animals nurture and providing an environment in which they can flourish. And in that sense, it's a little slice of heaven for me, and it is an echo of the kingdom of God. Now, we've been talking these past few weeks about Jesus' parables. And his parables were always meant to illustrate a principle of others and ourselves, and looking at life, approaching life from God's point of view of doing our best to receive God's best by doing his will in the world. And part of that is also simply understanding ourselves as his creatures, as his people, from whom we can derive his care and his nurture and a place to flourish. Now, Jesus was always giving out with these parables. And as we said last week, whether or not a person understood what Jesus was getting at was often dependent on the condition of that person's heart. If a person was hard towards Jesus, kind of skeptical of Jesus, didn't really want to get with Jesus, you know, sometimes his parables would just be frustrating. They would feel like, come on, Jesus, just say what you mean. But Jesus had a strategy. He was really speaking into the hearts of those whose hearts were supple, who were looking for a renewed way of life, who begun to believe that Jesus could actually help them into a new relationship with God. For those people, his words in these parables were like revelations right from heaven. They were words straight from the one who held the keys to understanding the kingdom. Well, on this day, this parable that Jesus told as he sat out by the Sea of Galilee, this might have been perplexing to anybody at first, because what he says, as I read before, is that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Now, a mustard seed would really seem like not a great metaphor for something as grand as the kingdom of heaven. A mustard seed is a tiny little thing. I mean, it's practically like dust. It's really of no account. And even when it grows up into a kind of a scrubby bush. I mean, you can cultivate it into a tree, and it might grow as high as 12 feet high, you know. But still, it's nothing great to look at. If you wanted a great metaphor for something as spectacular as the kingdom of God, you might use the metaphor that's used throughout Old Testament scripture for the kingdom of Israel, which is a cedar tree. Now, a cedar tree, now that's really something. It's what we might think of as our redwoods, you know? It's a tree that is awe-inspiring. It is sturdy. It's amazing to look at. It grows as high as 120 feet. Its girth can be as wide as 8 feet in diameter. I mean, this thing is solid. This is a metaphor for the kingdom of God. But Jesus wants to use this metaphor, this seed, this mustard seed, and this seedy kind of plant for a particular reason. I think he wants us to know a couple of things. One, that the kingdom of God is available to everyone. See, the mustard seed was just that. I mean, it was common. It was all over the place. It was just everywhere. So the kingdom of God, it's not something that's hidden away. It's not something that you have to scratch your way to some sort of special knowledge. It's something that's available almost for the asking. In fact, it is available for the asking. So I think Jesus wanted us to know that. I think he also wanted us to know this, that the kingdom of God is something that is useful to us. It's something that sustains us. And we see that in the fact that this mustard plant, it was part of a person's mix of crops. It was valuable. You could take those mustard seeds and you could use them, or you could sell them for spices. You could use them or sell them for oil. It was a thing that was useful. It sustained and flourished human life. So Jesus, I think, wants us to know that about the kingdom. It's available to every one of us, and it is a thing that sustains us and holds us up and nourishes us in our lives. But I think that the best thing, or at least the thing that impresses me this week about this metaphor, is that Jesus says that this mustard plant grows into the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Now, when Jesus says perch, I mean, the first thing I think of is a perch from which you can see very far, and I think all that's true. But that word also means nest. It's a place to nest. So this kingdom of God is a perfect perch. It's a perfect nest. It's a perfect place for us to live, to grow, to find God's care, his nurture, and to flourish as human beings. And you know, if you think about it, with the coming of Christ and the spread of his kingdom, people all over the world have found that that is so. Believers and non-believers alike, this kingdom of God has changed the way people see each other in ways that sometimes we take for granted. In Jesus' time, for instance, when Jesus was living under the Roman Empire, human life was not thought to be very valuable at all. There were a lot of wars, a lot of conflict going on. If you were caught up in one of those situations, chances are you would be just slaughtered. Or if you were sturdy and you were strong, you might be carted off into slavery. Some people were even carted off into a sort of slave entertainment where they were forced to fight men or beasts in the Colosseums of the provinces or even in the Roman Colosseum, fight to the death for the entertainment of Roman citizens. On the other end of the spectrum, newborn babies who were unwanted, usually because they were female, would be just left on the side of the road to starve or to dehydrate or to just be left for the tender mercies of the dogs. But people began to see something a little different after Christ came and with the spread and the growth of his kingdom way of looking at life. In those years, people began to understand a new thing about God. They began to understand that there was a God and that human beings were made in the image of that God, that God had created all things, and that God loved his creation. They began to get this message that God had created human beings. They were created in the image of him. And so they were worthy of dignity. They were worthy of being cared for. They were worthy of being nurtured and worthy of an opportunity to flourish. People saw it in the way that Christians treated one another. In their gatherings, people saw that all people were welcome, which was really kind of a crazy idea. Paul would later say that in these gatherings and in the church under Christ, all people were one. There was not Jew or Greek or slave or free or man or woman. Everybody was one. And people saw that that was really true. Slaves would worship alongside masters, the rich alongside poor, men alongside women. And you know, those babies that were being left out on the roadsides, people saw they were being picked up and taken in by Christians and raised in the church, cared for, nurtured, and given an opportunity to flourish. God's kingdom was spreading. Even when the powers that were, the temple power and then later the Roman government itself, even as they tried to wipe out the church, that kingdom of God kept growing. So desperately did the people want to be a part of that kingdom. They said that even the blood of martyrs watered that tree of the kingdom and made it spread further and further and further. Finally, the Emperor Constantine himself gave his life to Christ. And then that kingdom tree spread even further. In due time, that Roman Colosseum and the archway under which so many people, Christians and others, had gone to their deaths on that gladiatorial field. The Colosseum was in ruins, and hung in that archway was a cross itself. Once a symbol of degradation and death, was now a symbol of dignity and life. That cross hung there in memory of them, those who died, and also as a reminder that even though the Roman Empire was gone, the kingdom of Christ goes on, and that one day it would be victorious over all brutality, over all injustice, and over all forms of evil. See, God is at work all the time. And even when it seems like, I don't know, things are out of control or evil is on the march, God's kingdom continues on. And it continues on and grows and spreads one heart at a time. So it was that during the time of American slavery, God was at work in the hearts of those who fought to abolish it, even at the dreadful price of a civil war. So it was that during the Nazi Holocaust, God was at work in the hearts of Christians who risked their lives to save one Jew. So it was that during the time of American Jim Crow down in the South, God was at work in the hearts of Christians of all races who stood by those whose constitutional rights were being denied them. And so it is today that God is at work in the hearts of young people who stand vigil outside abortion clinics, available to pray with and support women who are often fearful and confused, all for the sake of the God's children who are yet unborn. God's kingdom continues to grow, and it spreads. And it spreads the very same way that Jesus spread the message of that kingdom in the very beginning, planting it into the hearts of regular people, where it grows by the power of the Holy Spirit, under the guidance of God's church, and with the encouragement of believers like you and me. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." That's the way the kingdom of God spreads, constantly, silently, and surely. And this is God's plan. It happens this way by God's design. We should always be careful that we look at our current circumstances, whatever they may be, always in light of this truth that God's kingdom is spreading throughout the world and that God's kingdom is growing inside you and inside me. We should never let our circumstances, the truth of our circumstances, especially now where it just seems like, it's so crazy, we're not allowed to, or we're strongly advised not to meet together in person as a church, even though I guess we could meet at Vaughn's or at Morongo Casino. I mean, everybody's there. I don't know. But see, the thing is, this is not going to last forever. This is not going to continue to go on forever. But God's kingdom continues to grow regardless. See, God right now is laying the groundwork for more growth. God is always softening people's hearts, and He is always planting His Spirit there like a pinch of yeast, and it will grow. Jesus said in the book of Mark, He said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or whether he gets up, the seed sprouts and it grows, though he does not know how." The kingdom of God is growing right now throughout the world, bringing God's care and nurture an opportunity to flourish. God's kingdom of human dignity is growing. And no matter what circumstances you find yourself in today, have faith. God's kingdom is also growing in you, even though we do not quite know how. Next week, we're going to continue on with our Tales from the Kingdom Trail. We'll be asking the question, what is it about this kingdom of God and having God in your life? What is that worth to you? But in the meantime, this week, I just really want to encourage you that no matter what's going on, understand that God loves you and God is reaching out the branches of His kingdom towards all people. He is spreading His kingdom way in all the world and into your heart. And I pray that you will bring that message to one other person by the way you speak, by the way you act, by the way you carry yourself, by the way you believe in the grace of that God who's given us this perfect perch from which to view all of our circumstances in light of His kingdom. Amen.